We have complicated relationships to our body. We have complicated relationships because we store so much pain there, and it can be so hard to think about taking care of ourselves by taking care of our body because we see it as the separate relationship. We have such limited patience with ourselves. We have such limited patience for our physical needs, for our physical ailments, for our physical experiences, as if it is an inconvenience instead of a great responsibility, a great privilege, a great joy if we can learn properly how to listen and what we need, and if we can cherish the experience of treating ourselves like we're a precious object.
But you're awakening already, right? It's already happening. That's why you're here and why you're listening.
Nothing is broken in your world. Nothing needs to be changed. Nothing needs to be different. And yet everything is constantly changing because it is the inevitable nature of that which is eternal.
What I've come to realize in this endless searching for answers is that there really are none.
If you spend your whole life trying to get your act together, then what do you have? You have an act. Right? Instead of a life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Figuring Shit Out. I am Vanessa Fontana, and if you're new here, Figuring Shit Out is a collective undertaking of self-help, coming of age, and finding and healing yourself in a world of flux. It is meant to help you deepen and expand the most important relationship you'll ever have, that with yourself. And if you are not new here, welcome back. If you are a frequent listener and you like the show, please rate Figuring Shit Out on your preferred streaming platform. Let me know your thoughts about this episode or any of the other episodes in the space below, as well as consider checking out some of the resources Figuring Shit Out has to offer, the website, the guidebooks on the website, the guidebooks within the community, joining the community, all of the things that are all linked down below if you're curious for more Figuring Shit Out content, as well as following on social media platforms to stay tuned with some updates. And as always, reach out if you have some words on the podcast. I love hearing how it has helped you in your life figure shit out and enjoy the process of it. As for right now, and as for this episode, I want to talk about something that I actually haven't talked about on Figuring Shit Out yet in really any capacity. I've talked a bit about burnout, right? I've talked a bit about, you know, listening to your intuitive action rest cycles. I've talked a lot about our spiritual, emotional, mental body in this world, but I haven't really spoken about the importance of health and the importance of wellness and what that really means. And I think that it's because I have spent so much of my own life disconnected from my own body, from my own semblance of what health really means. There is a sense of disconnection from the body that we often have, especially in this world where, you know, we look at ourselves in this objectified way. We look at ourselves in this way that the world sees us instead of really feeling how we feel inside of our body. And I want to explore this episode with a note on emotional regulation when it comes to your mind-body connection. And I am wanting to include an expert in this conversation. I have someone in mind who is a doctor who I'd like to bring in. But for now, I want to talk about what I have learned in this realm, because I've learned a lot in the last few months, particularly prioritizing my health. I've been training for a marathon, and a lot of what I've learned about taking care of yourself physically is how important it really is to your ability to take care of yourself mentally, to take care of yourself emotionally and spiritually, and how we truly are all connected. All of those things are connected, and how our connection to our body connects us to our emotional world, how our emotional world impacts our body, so on and so forth. We look at ourselves as, you know, broken parts sometimes. We look at our mental space as one thing. We look at our physical space as another thing. We look at our emotional space as a separate thing, because in this world, at times, we have to separate them. We have to put aside our emotions. We have to put aside what's going on in our body to show up to what we have to do. Sometimes we have to disconnect and fragment these parts of ourselves in order to continue going in this world. And sometimes for many of us, we've had to dissociate certain parts of ourselves in order to continue surviving. That's what we've learned. That's what we've been taught. And I want to assure you that this conversation is not going to end here. I have talked a lot about my experience with EMDR therapy and the real advantage that processing your emotions, which means feeling them in your body, right, has had on my ability to work through a lot of what I have gone through and learn from it. And the reason I really haven't spoken at length about EMDR is because I'm not done with it, and I'm really starting to see the impact of it in my life now. But before I could speak about it, I wanted to really experience it. And also, I am thinking about bringing in the therapist that I work with so that there can actually be an expert who can talk about it. But nonetheless, the topic of EMDR has come up so much because our trauma, our emotions are really stored in our body, in our physical vessel, in our experiences, and we can only do so much healing without that physical experience coming into it and somatically processing it. And so this is an area of figuring shit out that we haven't really spoken about because, you know, I'm very upfront about this. The experiences that I have in my personal life are directly integrated into this podcast. And this has been an experience that I've yet to have in my personal life, really, until right now. But recently, I've been noticing the true importance of the mind-body connection and how so much emotional regulation, how so much traumatic processing, how so much emotional processing in general, even if it has nothing to do with trauma, comes from your ability to be in connection and in tune with your body. And this is something very, very new for me. And what I've realized about being connected to my physical experience is how much color the world has when you are in your body, and how much more connected you are to your own needs and to your own soul when you're in your body. For so long, I thought of my body as an object, and I thought of my body as something that was apart from me. I thought about my body as if I was my body in a way, as if I was defined through my body. And as a woman, you know, I don't know many women who have not had their own struggles with identifying with their body, or, you know, people who haven't had that struggle of the body image conversation, which isn't really where I want to go today, but I do just want to say that that pain that we feel around our bodies comes from seeing ourselves through the eyes of our body, seeing ourselves as if that is where our worth is equated, seeing ourselves as this is the thing that I am in, and therefore I control it. It is the thing that I have control over. And if it isn't to my standards, then I'm out of control. And if it is, then I'm in it. And it's this conditional relationship that we have with something that is so unconditional. And so I'm not going to talk about body image today. I'm not going to talk about that very sensitive subject. But what I do want to say about our body is that it is something that we use as a tool through this world, to see through this world. And the importance of prioritizing your health as a means to connecting with yourself is understated in the wellness community, because I think that it can be very toxic. You know, we have complicated relationships to our body. We have complicated relationships because we store so much pain there, and it can be so hard to think about taking care of ourselves by taking care of our body, because we see it as the separate relationship. And so much of what I've learned in the wholeness of the experience and healing the last few months, truly integrating these experiences into my own life and then pouring it here into this podcast, is that it's not separate. You aren't your body. You have a body. And as well, that doesn't mean that you don't get to not take care of it and still feel good. You know, you taking care of it, treating yourself well, physically treating yourself well, is so powerful to how mentally you treat yourself, to how you allow the world to talk to you, to how you allow yourself to move through this world and garner respect. Asking yourself if you respect your body by your physical actions towards your body will give you a real understanding of where you stand with the whole of yourself. And this is a really sensitive subject. I'm very aware of how sensitive this is and how it can be something that brings up a lot in us, or something that you may feel absolutely nothing around. And for me, it was a mixture of both for a long time. It was, you know, I couldn't feel emotions in my body unless I felt all of them all at once. That was the way that I personally emotionally processed things for a long time, was feeling nothing and feeling almost completely numb, and then out of nowhere feeling this deep connection to the emptiness of a painful experience and not being able to turn it off. And it is in that disconnection to my body that there was such a disconnection to my emotional world, and therefore such a disconnection to my spirit and how much my spirit was present in my body, or how much I allowed it to be. And so this episode is just a reminder that we are connected through these things. We are connected through our mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being as one. It's one whole piece. They're not separate parts of a pie that we just decide to water one and the other one will come, and that one might not be so good and this one is good now. It's a whole thing that when we show up for our physical body, when we show up for our health, we show up for our mental, we show up for our emotional, we create the space to feel our feelings, and we create the space for our spiritual alignment to find us. Because we feel through this world physically with our feet on the ground as we move through the outside world, the outside connection of everything. For a long time, I didn't really understand the peace that people would get by putting their feet in the sand or putting their feet on the soil, because I was so disconnected from my body that I didn't really understand feeling connected to something like that and how that could bring you peace. And in the last few months, I've really learned how to listen to my physical space in a way to where I understand now that the breath that we breathe and the way that we breathe and the way that we move in this world is a reflection of our mental and emotional well-being and how we are integrating our physical experience into the world we see around us, the perception and the perspective that we see through. So that was really some table setting for getting into this episode, where I am going to ask you a few questions that are gonna probably get you to think a bit differently than you have before around how your physical health impacts your mental health. And one of those is, when you're not doing well, when you're going through a hard time, when you're going through maybe the dark night of the soul, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, how are you taking care of yourself? When you are not doing well emotionally, what do you do? Do you sleep all day? Do you not sleep? Do you feed yourself well? Do you do things that try bit by bit to really nourish the experience that you're having? Even if it's a bad experience, even if it's something that's hard to go through, are you physically supporting yourself going through it? Or, and it's okay if this is you, because this was me up until honestly a few months ago, when you are emotionally not doing well, do you allow that to filter into your physical experience? And do you maybe not eat or not eat well? Do you maybe not sleep or not sleep well, or sleep too much? Or, you know, do you allow one thing in your experience, your physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, to impact the whole of everything? Or do you find balance through it? And I just want you to ask yourself that question, because it's important to understand how health and wellness, truly wellness, is a holistic experience that is not just one piece of a whole part. It is a true whole. We are walking through this world with not only our physical, but our mental body, our emotional body, our spiritual body, all of those are bodies that we can't conceive because they're not objects of our attention. And when we zoom into the object of our attention being our physical body and how it looks, we completely disconnect from how we feel. And that's a struggle. That's hard. That's not something I'm equipped to really talk about here today. But it's really important to know when your resources are depleted and you are equating that with you not doing well versus you actually not doing well, you actually having emotional problems that you have yet to address, or you just not getting enough sleep and that causing the emotional problems. And for so long in my own life, I have allowed burnout to be a real kicker of reason for my physical lack of care. I've said, oh, I was working too hard. I'm not taking care of myself. But really, because my energy is being given too much, I am not in tune with the energy of my body. I'm not in tune with my own resources. I am giving myself away, maybe because I'm not connected to myself internally. And so I understand what it's like to have that disconnection. But asking myself, when I'm not doing well, when I'm feeling emotional, when I'm feeling like everything just feels chaotic, have I gotten enough sleep? How much sleep did I get last night? Have I eaten well today? Like, what have I eaten today? Did I eat fruits and veggies? Did I eat something that actually made me feel good? Or did I eat something processed? Did I eat something that I know my body doesn't react well to? Do I even know what my body reacts well to? Question mark. Asking myself those questions has allowed me to say, oh, okay, like I'm actually not having a mental breakdown. I'm actually just really hungry and tired. And it's crazy how when we look at ourselves like children and we just say, what do you need? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Do you need a nap? Do you need some laughter? Do you need a break from your work? We're able to see through solutions so much quicker than us trying to solve this big puzzle piece of an emotional problem because we think that there's something wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with you. You might just need some more love. You might just need to be giving your body some more love. And maintaining that connection to your body or creating that connection to your body if you don't have it starts really small. It starts with the basic things that we know we should do and we don't do, right? It's the getting the 8 to 10 hours of sleep and creating a real non-negotiable around that. It's the drinking water in the morning. Being mindful about what we let into our space first thing in the morning. Are you waking up and immediately grabbing your phone? Are you waking up and immediately grabbing your phone and going on Instagram? Are you waking up and immediately thinking about the millions of problems that you have to solve when you are barely awake in this world yet? Are you cautious and careful about the way in which you move? Or do you treat yourself like you're disposable, like you're expendable, like your body is going to be young forever and you don't need to take care of it? It's a question that is important to ask because that so powerfully impacts the way that we feel. And the way that we feel capable of handling challenging experiences, the way that we feel capable of handling experiences that are completely out of our control, is how are we taking care of ourselves? And how are we taking care of ourselves when things are going well versus when things are going poorly? Is our treatment of ourselves conditional on our external situation? And how often do we force or rush ourselves into feeling better when we're sick, or force ourselves beyond our physical means or ignore our physical means completely in order to get something done or finish a deadline or be in the world with our friends and not miss out on things? Like, how much do we forfeit our body's ability to talk to us simply because it's an inconvenience to us? And how does that actually impact us, actually? Like I said, I've talked about this before in the experiences of burnout and toxic productivity and in the realm as it relates to our output, our energetic output, but I haven't spoken about this in terms of health and what health actually means or what it means to feel well. We'll talk about this again, but I'm reading a book called The Artist's Way, which is a 12-week course all around how we are all creative beings and how we nurture our creativity by nurturing what the author of the book calls an artist child, which is really just our inner child, and how we somewhere along the way lose it, and how our experience in this life is learning how to get it back and learning how to reclaim our creative power. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I'm almost on week 12, and when I'm finished with the book, I want to talk about it at length, but that's not the point. The point is that the author encourages the readers to treat themselves like precious objects, and she says, "Treating myself like a precious object will make me strong." And she encourages us to use that affirmation, treating myself like a precious object will make me strong. And it doesn't just mean treating yourself like a precious object emotionally or treating yourself like a precious object spiritually and creating the space to meditate, but treating yourself like a precious object as a whole, which means moving with ease and learning how to live in a way that fuels your creative self, fuels your ability to feel safe. And our ability to feel safe comes from us feeling safe in our body. And that's a really hard task. That's a really hard thing to learn how to do. I am learning more and more, but I've realized throughout my whole life that through the exercises that I've done and through the things that I've been involved with that, you know, include my body, how for the first time ever, I'm really feeling the connection to my body. I'm for the first time realizing that treating my body like it is a precious object and treating myself as I am a precious object has made me holistically stronger, and it's made me feel more connected to my experience, which means that there's a sense of surrender, right? Like, when you're tired, do you listen? When you're tired, do you make the space to listen? Because sometimes you can't. And I think it's important to note that sometimes our world demands of us things that we have to give. And that's fair. But how often do you use that as an excuse to not give yourself what you need? Because that's a trap that we get in very, very often of the time. You know, I used to look at the things that I had to do as the most important thing, like my work and my podcast and my this and my that and the tasks and the accomplishments and blah, 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 blah. I talked a little bit about that last week. But I think now what I'm realizing is that there is always space to make balance happen. It's about knowing that. It's about reclaiming the power, and it's about prioritizing our physical well-being as a means of moving through this life, creating, knowing that if we don't feel well in our body, if we aren't able to give ourselves what we need, then a lot of times everything else will be much harder to do, much harder to show up for. And I want to also acknowledge and note that not everyone has the full capabilities and range of their body. And so it's about knowing where your needs are in relation to your capacity, into what you have to give. And if you are healthy, if you are well, if you have all the facilities functioning, how do you take care of that? How do you truly be grateful for it? How do you integrate your experience of your life in this world through your body, your emotional world, your spiritual world, creating and allowing that experience to come through you rather than looking at your body as something that you need to change or looking at your body as something that needs to serve you in a way, instead of honoring what it wants to give to you by your ability to give to it? Do you show up for those things? It's amazing what 8 hours of sleep will do to your mental clarity. It's amazing what 10 hours of sleep will do when you need it. It's amazing what some sunshine and exercise will do. I highly, highly recommend Andrew Huberman's podcast because it is very connected to neuroscience through the physical world, through the body. I'm sure you've heard of it, but if not, Huberman Lab is by Andrew Huberman. He is a podcaster, a doctor at Stanford University. He teaches biology, I believe. And he is very, very connected to the realm of psychology and neuroscience as it relates to the physical body and the studies, the actual, you know, scientific evidence that supports how we take care of ourselves and how that impacts our ability to be in the world, how our brains have become dopamine dependent on things. And dopamine is a neurochemical in the body that is responsible for our ability to be motivated. A lot of people associate dopamine with happiness, and I think that that's true, but dopamine is really a motivating chemical, meaning that it gets us up, it gets us going. And in this day and age, we are very dopamine dependent because things that give us short-term pleasure, like scrolling on our phone or getting likes on Instagram or posting something or feeling really good for a moment and getting short-term validation or using substances that we know aren't good for us but may be very addictive. The list goes on and on. There is so much short-term dopamine that we can get that we develop a threshold for dopamine that is extremely high. And for us to actually feel any sense of happiness, we have to meet that high level, that high bar of dopamine that we've set by existing and being in this world before we can really feel a sense of true motivation. And that's why it can be so hard for us to move through the world and feel connected to it, feel connected to anything at all. A lot of this can be boiled down to the neurochemical level and things that we are getting and we're not getting, where we are deficient and where we're not deficient. And it's crazy that I haven't spoken about this on the podcast yet, how important it is that we take care of our physical health as a means to figuring our shit out, how that is really a first principle when it comes to being able to connect to yourself and let alone actualize your dreams, be able to dream at all, be able to dream as you sleep, be able to feel good. As a first principle, it's health, it's wellness, it's how you are taking care of yourself. And so often we mistake our hard times when really they're just us depleted, our resources, our physical resources depleted. And I'm going to be a mom right now. Like, are you drinking enough water? Are you getting enough sun? Are you filling your time with things that you know will nourish you? Our minds are so powerful, and we can think our way into oblivion. We can think our way into the problems and into the solutions for them. But sometimes it's so much more simple than thinking. A lot of times it's getting out of our head and getting into the world. It's feeling the sun on our skin and sitting there and appreciating what that can do for us, how that can recharge us. I personally lived in this state of complete survival up until recently. Honestly, I was in and out of these states of cyclical rise, cyclical fall, this, you know, go, 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 and then this burnout. And my nervous system had felt so shot. It felt like I was constantly running myself dry and I was constantly trying to compensate for it. And I would have these long periods of go, go, go and action, 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 and these shorter periods of rest and complete revitalization because I was completely burnt out. And it was just this cycle. And I'm learning now how important that balance really is. And for the first time, how to enact it. And a big part of how to enact it is really taking care, like the simple, basic act of taking care of yourself in ways that we know how to do, in showing up for our sleep and showing up for what makes us feel good. When you are taking care of yourself, you feel your resilience, you feel your ability to recover, and you don't push yourself as hard because your resources don't feel limited. You have more of a connection with your ability to tune into your resources, know where your levels are. No, I'm not really, you know, feeling it right now. But that's okay, because if I get some rest, I know tomorrow that I will. And building that, it is so pivotal to trusting yourself. It is so simple, but it is so effective. Truly, the way in which we take care of ourselves, the way in which we are able to romanticize the small parts of taking care of ourselves. And so the advice that I have for you on this is just starting with the listening, starting with looking at your physical as less something that you need to judge and something that you need to make look a certain way, but more something that gives you the ability to fully experience the life that you have, and then asking yourself, how can you take care of it? And really considering how your mental body impacts your physical body and watching as it happens. Usually when you're feeling anxious, a good question to ask yourself is, where do you feel it in your body? Instead of why are you feeling it? Because Our emotions don't always make sense. They're not always supposed to. Our incessant need to make sense of them is keeping us stuck in them because we're making it a mental problem, a mental task that we need to solve, that we need to find a solution for, when in reality, what we need to be doing is paying attention to what is needed of us. To paying attention to how we can be more in tune and surrendered and connected to that experience so that we can walk ourselves gently through that experience instead of trying to pull ourselves out or get ourselves out or push ourselves somewhere else. We have such limited patience with ourselves. We have such limited patience for our physical needs, for our physical ailments, for our physical experiences, as if it is an inconvenience for us to have to sleep, as if it is an inconvenience for us to have to eat well and drink water and fuel ourselves properly to be able to fully be present in our lives, instead of a great responsibility, a great privilege, a great joy if we can learn properly how to listen and what we need, and if we can cherish the experience of treating ourselves like we're a precious object. And so when you're feeling your emotions, I encourage you to ask yourself where you are feeling them. Feeling it is half of what we have to learn, half of what we have to relearn. It's just about integrating that sense of balance where you're checking in with your physical needs, and you're checking in with if you are giving yourself the grace of honoring the responsibility that you have to keep yourself alive and keep yourself going. You know, we talk a lot on Figuring Shit Out about how we can get through this experience, confusion and chaos, and really learn how to enjoy it, learn how to find the promise in the unpromising, learn how to find beauty in the ugliness, learn how to just go along our bumps in the road and see our life as an unfolding story that we get to tell and that we get to live through. And so much of that is being well enough to live through it. And so much of that is highlighting the gracious, gracious responsibility that we have to just do simple things like sleep well, and be conscious of what goes into our physical space, just as conscious as we are what goes into our energetic space. But I encourage you to, wherever you start, integrate your physical experience, being present in your body, and noticing the power of being present in your body, noticing the power of rooting down while you walk through this world, rooting down and standing up straight, and what that does for you in your confidence, in your power, in your voice. How when you speak, you can speak from your root, or you can speak from your heart, or you can speak from your throat, or you can speak from your head. How where you speak from influences how you speak, and how you feel influences how your body is moving, whether it's clenched or whether it's relaxed. How we are not our bodies or our minds, but we have both, and it is our job to take care of them. And how precious a responsibility that is that we take for granted. And how that, honoring the basic responsibilities of those things will carry us through to meet our emotional lives in a way that honors and waters them. How that will carry us through our spiritual lives in a way that allows them to grow from the soul and not from the ego. How we are able to see the difference between feeding our soul and feeding our ego when we just pay attention to the way things feel in our body, the way that emotions are making us feel, to identifying and regulating. I will be talking about this a little bit more as I go through the experience, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, but I'm training for a marathon, and I'm running a marathon in less than 3 weeks, and so much of what I've learned in my marathon training is about balance. It's so much less than pushing myself beyond my means, and it's so much more about taking care of myself every single day, which means that instead of focusing on this goal of running 26 miles, instead of focusing on this goal of getting my mileage in and getting my mileage up and learning everything I can about marathons, which was what I was doing initially when I first started training, I am just taking care of myself. Really, I am showing up on days where I've scheduled a long run and I'm seeing what I can do. And by doing that and by really being curious and pushing myself a bit farther every time, I just ran a half marathon yesterday, but I've just realized the beauty of resilience that our bodies have and how capable our bodies are that we don't realize that they are. And again, I'm going to talk about this after I finished the marathon, but so much of what I have realized throughout this whole process is being gentle, and how you don't run a marathon by trying to run a marathon. You run it by taking it one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, and how you slow down and suddenly things seem more possible. You slow down and you pay attention to what you need and things seem more possible. And no matter how far I ran, how much mileage I've done, I just knew deeply, you know, if I'm not sleeping and if I'm not eating well and if I'm not hydrating, I'm not going to run this. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. But if I am able to get my mental right, then I think I'm able to see my physical body as a tool that can really help me through this and treat it well as well. It's taught me how to listen and how to actually get a gauge on my resources, what I have in me. And also, yes, how a lot of what we think we're able to do is mental. I never thought that it would be a relatively easy thing for me to run 13.1 miles. And I'm not saying it was super easy. I have had to do a lot to get to that point. But what I'm saying is that so much of what I did to get myself physically able to do that was not even about my physical experience. It was so much more things that I was reading and how much I was scaring myself, how much stress I was carrying about running this thing, how much stress I was carrying just in general. So much of being able to be physically fit didn't even come from the physical part of it as much as it came from the mental, emotional, spiritual listening. And then how I used that to listen, knowing that your capability is going to be different every day, that your resources are going to be different every day, and you have to be the parent in treating yourself like a precious object and in treating yourself right and treating yourself like you deserve to be taken care of well. And being taken care of well is really simple. It starts really, really simply. It starts with sleep, food, and finding moments, pockets of peace throughout your day, deep breaths. Can you make tea before you go to bed? Can you have a little ritual that lets you relax? Can you wake up with a little bit more ease? What happens if you set your alarm for 15 minutes earlier and you do some deep breathing before you get out of bed? What happens if you set it 15 minutes later and you don't push yourself to get that workout in because you need to do it? What happens if you just sleep a little bit more if you need it? I can't tell you how to give to your body. You can only listen to what it's asking of you, and that's a long process sometimes. It's taken me a really long time. But like I said, this conversation is not going to be over when this episode ends. This is a really new part of my experience, and again, I want to bring in an expert on this. I want to continue this conversation, but I'm really interested in what you guys have learned about this or in what you guys want to know when it relates to anything physical or neurochemical or, you know, biological that I could explore and bring into Figuring Shit Out as a means of allowing our experiences here to be filled with a lot more connection. So if you liked this episode, please let me know your thoughts. Rate the podcast on your preferred streaming platform, and I'm grateful for you listening. And remember, as this episode ends and you go into your day and you go into your week, if you spend your whole life trying to get your act together, you don't have a life. You have an act. So go and live your fucking life. I love you. I love you. I love you. I will see you next week.
You gotta look for the redeeming feature. You gotta look for things to appreciate. You gotta find a reason to make it okay where you are. No, I've gotta strive and struggle and try. That's what I've been taught. Growth and expansion is my quest. No, that's inevitable. Whether it comes easy or hard is the question.
The horrible truth is that it's an inside job, that if you're going to get that love and that respect that you've just so that union starts inside.
To every experience of growth, there is an equal and an opposite. And that equal and an opposite is what drives you to that light. So you have to start inwards. You have to start first within yourself.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.